joined. Has joined. Has joined. has joined.
Kodesh Tov, good morning.
Morning.
Is it just you?
No, Hannah's here.
Okay. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
We will begin with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Shab Rishu, Ishki.
Has joined.
Urshimu, Utilu, Utilu, Urshimu. Leachta, L'shem, Yud He, Bavavhe. The Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayihino Amadunai Elohino, Elena Maaseya, Deno Konene, Elena Maaseya, Deno Konenehu. Today we are studying the first Aliyah for Parashat Vayikra. It begins in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, and completes at verse 13. A total of 13 verses, and we know the number 13 connects to the word Echad, which is oneness, unity. Vayikra el Moshe vaydaber Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yo Aheida Wanu Heyo Elav Me Ohel Moed Lemor Daber Israel, the Amarta Alehem, Adam ki akriv, Michem karban le Adonai, Yohe wahe, Adanu yo, Yohe da wanu hey yo, Min habehe. Min habakal umin chatzon akrivu et karbanchem imola karbano min habakar zachartamin yakrivenu Ohel Moed Yachrivo Toli Ono
has joined
Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo Wisamach Yado Salo likaper alav v'shachat et ben habakar lifnei Adonai Yohe wahe Adanu yo Yohe dawanu hey yo v'hi grivu b'nei Acharon ha-kohanim et ha-dam v'zarku et ha-dam al ha-mizbeach t'aviv asher petach ohel moed v'hishit et ha-olah Benitach otalin tachecha, v'natnu b'nei acharon HaKohen Esh al HaMizbeach V'arku Etzim al HaEsh V'arku B'nei Acharon HaKohanim Ed HaNatachim Excuse me. Ed ha-rosh, v'ed ha-pader, al ha-etzim asher, al ha-esh asher, al ha-mizbeah. V'kir bo ra'av, yirchat ba-mayim, Kohen Ed HaKol HaMizbeach Ola Yishereach Michoach La Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Weim Min Hatzon Karbano min haksavim, o min haitzim, leola zacharta min yakrivenu, veshachat oto al yerech hamizbeach. Tavona lifnei Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohahe Dawanu heyo Zarku b'nei Acharon HaKohanim et damo Al hamizbeach taviv Wenitach oto lintachav, v'et rosho, v'et pidro, v'arach hakohen otam al ha'etzim, asher al ha'esh, asher al ha'mizbeach. V'hakerev v'hakrayim Yirchatz b'mayim V'hikriv hakohen et hako v'hiktir Ha'mizbecha olahu ishei Re'ach nichoach l'adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo, Yohahe Dawanu heyo. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. We will now study the translation. Chapter 1 of Leviticus, verse 1. And he called to Moses, and the Hashem spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, The important thing is to realize that the Vav is the first letter of this new book. And the Vav connects to the previous section, which we discussed. The last phrase of Pikudei, the accounting, is the idea that the children of Israel are on their journeys. So the book of Leviticus, which is also known as the book of the Kohanim, the book of priests, which is all about the laws of the priests and how to perform sacrifices and how to do sacrifices and how to study sacrifices. All of these laws are connected to the journeys of our lives. It's not just the lives in walking in the desert. Our lives, our goals, our journeys, that they're attached to those goals. One of the ills of a Western society in our generation, in my opinion, is Hashem is left out of the discussion. Hashem has become secondary when he is primary. Ein od milvado. There is nothing except Hashem. Verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man from you brings a sacrifice to Hashem from animals, from cattle, or from flock, you shall bring your sacrifice. So the first law is you have a choice. Which animal will you bring as a sacrifice? The word animal, it's coming from the Hebrew word behema, which means an animal that's not kosher. From your cattle, or from your flock, well, are lambs cattle or flock? No, they're not. And they're also not behema. And yet, lambs are brought. Goats are brought. The same idea. Who's making these decisions that tells us that we can bring a goat or we can bring a lamb? This is the rabbis. This is the oral tradition written down. And we know that the Talmud, which is the oral law, which is the oral tradition, cannot be written down. It was never to be written down. But one man who was the leader of the nation in many levels, he was a Kohen, meaning a priest, and he was the political head of the nation. He said it's okay to write it down because I'm concerned about not having this information. I'm concerned about it being lost in the diaspora. So it got written down, and that's who says that we can bring lambs and we can bring goats, which are both kosher animals. Verse 3, if his sacrifice is a burnt offering from cattle, an unblemished male, he shall bring it. He shall bring it willingly to the entrance of the tent of meeting before Hashem. The word for burnt offering is oleh. But the real meaning of oleh is an elevation.
Has joined.
Means the whole animal is burnt. The animal is shechted, means it's slaughtered in the kosher manner. Certain parts will be donated, tithed to the Kohanim and to the Leviim. But it has to be an unblemished male to be an ole, to be a burnt offering, to be an elevations offering. Why can't it be a female animal? There are many reasons. that are explained in the Talmud, none of which I've ever read in this lifetime. Verse 4. And he shall lean his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted for him to atone for him. This is a very important verse. By putting your hand on the animal's head, you are transferring your own negativity to that animal. The animal accepts the negativity. He doesn't have free choice, but that process is a transfer of metaphysical energy, which we can learn that any form of touching is a transfer of metaphysical energy. And he shall slaughter the young bull before Hashem, and Aaron's descendants, the Kohanim, shall bring the blood and dash the blood upon the altar, around which is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Remember, there is a courtyard around the tent of meeting. There's an altar in that courtyard, and that's where the slaughter takes place, where the sacrifice takes place. Now, why does the Kohen dash the blood upon the altar? This is a symbol of your soul, who has committed a negativity, is being burnt on the altar. The altar is not just a flat table. It has a fire upon it. It's warm, and that blood is burnt. Remember, the blood, the nefesh, is where the soul is. In every human being, but you've transferred the negativity of that soul to the animal. And that, what is now in that animal's blood, is the negative aspect of your soul. Verse 6. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into its prescribed sections, meaning certain sections, certain parts of the animal go to the Kohen, certain to the Leviim. But the animal's fur has to be burnt. Why do you think that is? Because just as your skin is your garment, the level of consciousness that should not be burnt in the same way with the meat. And the descendants of Aaron, the Kohen, shall place fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. And Aaron's descendants, the Kohanim, shall then arrange the pieces, the head and the fat, on top of the wood, which is on the fire that is on the altar. Now, can you imagine hundreds of thousands of men bringing an animal for a particular holiday like Passover or Sukkot or Shavuot, those three holidays where we are invited to come to Jerusalem and stand before Hashem. Imagine doing this animal after animal on this altar. Verse 9, and its innards and its legs he shall wash with water. Then the Kohen shall cause to smoke all on the altar as a burnt offering, a fire offering, a pleasing fragrance to Hashem. Why do you think this verse is telling us that the smell of a burning animal is a pleasing fragrance to Hashem, a pleasing odor to Hashem? Hashem doesn't have a nose. But the Torah speaks in the language of men. So what makes it pleasing? Do you really think we found it pleasing, smelling that animal burning on the fire? Remember, there's salt added to that, as we will find out, whether it's this Aliyah or the next. There is salt animal added to it. It raises that pleasing odor that we enjoy at a barbecue. But remember, we're not eating these animals. The Kohen is. The priest is. But this idea of a pleasing fragrance to Hashem, what's pleasing to him is that we are doing the sharing of our negativity to Hashem so that it becomes nothing. Hashem is never nothing, but when he accepts our offering, it's as if it is nothing, because it's part of him, as we are part of him. And this is the acceptance of us by the animal that we have chosen and who has accepted our negativity upon it. Verse 10, and if his offering is from the flock, from sheep or from goats, as a burnt offering, he shall sacrifice it, an unblemished male. Why do you think in the first verse sheep or goats were not added? But it gives us the information here in verse 10. Obviously, it's because the counting of words, the counting of letters, the counting of verses all matter. So it needed to give us the information that sheep and goats are available to slaughter, to be a sacrifice. But if it had given it in that first verse, it would change the count of words. It would change the count of letters. When we finish the 13 verses, I plan to go back and count the words of that first verse again. Verse 11, and he shall slaughter it on the northern side of the altar before Hashem. And Aaron's descendants, the Kohanim, shall dash its blood upon the altar around. Why does it repeatedly say Aaron's descendants, the Kohanim? What is this we are to learn? Verse 12, and he shall cut it into its sections with its head and its fat, and the Kohen shall arrange them on top of the wood, which is on the fire that is on the altar. This is a repetition of a previous verse. But what has changed? Sheep and goats has been added to the possibility. Cattle is to be kept separate, to be burned separately from sheep and goats. Now, I don't know if that's true, but there's something in this, these verses and the order of these verses and the way they're written that we need to learn. And the innards and the legs he shall wash with water. Then the Kohen shall offer up all and cause it to smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a fire offering, a pleasing fragrance to Hashem. That's the completion of the 13 verses. I'm going to now count. It's verse 2 where we have the word cattle and flock, but not sheep. So we count the words. Words, which connects to the name of Hashem, Echieh. We know the power of that name, because it comes from, that's the name Hashem told Moses to tell the children of Israel is his name. Echieh Asher Echieh, I will be what I will be. The number of letters. There are 78 letters, which is the idea of 3 times 26 is 78, 26 being the gematria of Hashem, representing the 3 columns. Three columns of the Tree of Life. We have completed our study for today. We will be stopping here. We will be reconvening in approximately a half hour for the connection, the Rosh Chodesh, and the study of the month of Nisan. As a part of the preparation of the 12 days, 13 days, leading up to Passover, to Pesach. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes, you said 30 minutes?
Approximately 30 minutes. It will be at 11 o'clock Eastern, which is 8 o'clock. Pacific time, 10 o'clock, I believe, is Central Clock time.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Shalom Gadol, Kodesh Tov, remember the sequence. I didn't mention it as we said all of these Hashems, and we made the connection to the Sephardic Minhag of the spelled out name of Adonai in the final letter, meaning the physical level world, and also the eight-letter name. But the sequence is the same. The sequence is correct for this Rosh Chodesh of Nisan. The name of Hashem, the permutation of Hashem, is Yo-Heh-Wah-Heh.
Yo-Heh-Wah-Heh.
Chodesh Tov.
Chodesh Tov.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you. Do we have a class at 11? Nope. Nope.